right, I want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace, and you're listening to Simplify Complexity, your relationship podcast. Today we have as a guest host, we have Mr. J. Mr.
Hey, hey,
showing the love in the house. And so we're really excited to have Mr. J with us.
Yes, yes. We're glad to be here too, Brian.
All right. So we're going to be talking about today, talking sex with your kids. That's the title. But basically, we want to talk about how do you begin to have this conversation about relationships, about sex and the many different facets of sexuality with our kids, with our youth. So when it comes to this area of talking about sex with our kids, you know, what is a starting point? Where do we go? I mean, break it down for us. I mean, is this a topic that we should even care about? You know, why even have this discussion?
Yeah, man, this is very imperative. It's a very hard topic to deal with, man, because teens do not want to sit there and talk to their parents,
right?
You know, about sex. You know, it's like, you know, man, we got to talk about private parts and how did we do what? And
yeah,
so it's just so difficult. And so where do we start as parents? And so I would say that, man, it really starts at birth. When that child is young, it's having the opportunity to have conversation with that child, open dialogue. And so you want to keep that relationship. And it's good to do that every single week. It used to be to where families would sit around a dinner table and talk. And so those days are gone now.
Long gone. I mean, I know for me, man, I have what? You have the TV in the kids' rooms, the TV in the living room, TV in your bedroom, and everybody just separate. So I definitely understand that.
Exactly. So the more often you have conversation with your kids, the easier it is for them to come to you. And then also being open to them is very important. So, for an example, if a kid comes to me and says, hey, look, you know, I'm 16 now, I have a boyfriend, that is not the time to blow up or to frown down on that thing, because that's going to shut them off. They're no longer going to share.
That's so hard, because you have that reaction of you want to just quickly and be stern, but you want them to have that open communication.
And exactly.
So, basically, as a parent, sometimes we have to bite our tongue so that way we can keep those open lines of communication open.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So sometimes the blood will, you bite your tongue so hard, the blood will flow to the back of your neck, but that's just the way it is. And so just being open to your youth, when they bring something to you, it's not shooting them down.
Okay.
And so that keeps their line of communication open. They know that, hey, I can talk to my parent about anything.
Yeah.
And so that's where you want to put them.
And now, as a parent, I've had those moments where I know I need to have this talk. And so I'll say for my son, you know, he's about to get to that age where he's going to wake up in the morning and things are going to be moving, things are going to be different. And I have to begin to have this conversation with him so he can have a healthy view of, you know, as he's growing and going into puberty. But I struggle with, man, how do I do that? Where do I even start? And so as a parent, what's a good starting point as you begin to talk about some of those things and open it up?
You know, I'd actually start before puberty actually kicks in, years in advance, even 7, 8 years old, because you know the maturity of your child. And so, man, maybe it's that moment where you guys just go out and grab some burgers or something like that, or some pizza.
Yeah.
So that the child can relax and feel safe. And once the kids have food, they're ready to open up, by the way. And so it's just asking them certain questions to see where they are. And then you need to share with them key information as far as what their bodies are going to experience, their genitals and so forth, as they develop into womanhood, for the girls and for the boys, what's coming up. And it may be hard coming out, but those things have, they got to be said so that the child does not wake up one morning and find out that, okay, I had this wet dream. What happened here? You know, or the girls finding out, okay, what's going on down here?
Yeah.
So we need to actually have that conversation.
Well, and if the parent isn't having that conversation, then the question is asked, where are they getting the information? And so from your experience, you know, where have they gotten that information and how has that impacted their view of sex, sexuality, and relationships?
Yeah, it has not changed. If we reflect back to when we were kids coming up, if you're not going to get that information from your parents, you're going to get it from the school. You're definitely going to get it from your peers as teenagers, and that's where it happens. It happens in the locker rooms, the bathrooms, just them interacting with each other. They intimidate each other, and sometimes they will intimidate each other sexually. And so you may have one girl says to the next, as they're developing, you may have a girl that's developing breasts early. And because she has one of her peers that's not, she may even intimidate her, you know, oh, well, how come you're still flat?
Yeah.
And so this is the reason why you as the parent need to get to that child early before these things take place.
Yeah.
To share with them.
Well, and I think also there's a negative view of sex. So normally, you know, when we begin to talk about sex, sex is this taboo thing. But if we think about it in its purity, God created sex.
Right.
And so sex is not this horrible thing. God is not a prude to where he's not going to talk about sex. He created it. He created our organs. He created stimulation. And so it's a beautiful thing in the sanctity of marriage. And I think that's an area that we have to make sure we talk to our kids, that we talk to our youth, even ourselves, that we remind ourselves that it's a beautiful thing as long as it's in the right parameters.
It's extremely important that we talk to our kids about, especially the development of our bodies and how precious and how pure sex really is, the way God intended it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we hear from our kids regarding their sexuality, and we frown up at that, or we tell them, you know, just keep your dress down, keep your pants zipped up, and we just give them that information, that's what makes it unclean for them.
Yeah, taboo, and shh, we can't talk about that with dad, right. We can't talk about the mom, yeah. So
that's
real
generally
good.
Comes from the parents.
Hmm, okay.
Not their peers.
Right.
Because from their peers, it's like, okay, this is cool, this is fun, this is something I like to experiment with, possibly. With parents, it's like, hey, we're not going to talk about it right now. I don't have the time. No, you don't need to be doing that. And so it's like, keep your hands off.
Right.
And they're asking, well, why? What's wrong with it?
That's really good. It's so important. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in the area of sex and youth?
Well, it's mainly running our program. We do a 7-week True Love Waits program.
Okay.
And what happens is during that period, I may have several parents that will come to me and say, you know, my daughter is 12 years old. She's not ready for that.
Mm.
And I go into the middle schools. I go into the middle schools and the high schools every single week for the past 13 years. And so I know what kids are talking about and what they're doing.
And I'm just interested. I mean, is it the older we get, the more that we forget what we did? You know, because I know when I was young, I mean, I was doing all kinds of things and talking about all kinds of things. So that's unfortunate that you're trying to have a program to educate, you know, youth, and you have parents holding you back.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's innocent. And so sometimes they're really trying to protect their child.
Okay.
Without them knowing that they're hindering them from receiving the tools that they need to understand this whole sexuality.
And that's what I was thinking. I mean, is that really protecting them by not informing them? I think of the scripture where the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And so, I mean, yes, we want to protect them but not informing them, not educating them is not a form of protection.
And so that is my struggle. And so sometimes I have to tell the parent, hey, come by, sit in the back of the classroom, and that way you can get an understanding of what your child is receiving.
Yeah.
So that's been my biggest pet peeve, is just dealing with parents when it comes to dealing with their kids on getting information to them regarding sex.
I know that you guys have a conference coming up. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that conference and how they can get involved, how they can be a part? Is it just for youth? Tell us about that.
Okay, well, each year for the past 10, this is like year number 10 now, we've been doing the True Love Waits program. So it's a 7-week program, and we culminate this with some type of celebration to which the kids have an opportunity to pledge to sexual purity.
Okay.
And so this pledge actually started way back in 1993. We had about 102,000 youth across America that made pledges, and we took those pledges to the state capitol and prayed for those. And so over the year, it has grown to over 2.5 million pledges. And so the youth are basically, they go through this program and they pledge to sexual purity, not only to themselves, but to their future mate, to their future children.
That's good.
That they're going to abstain from sex until they get into a marriage, a biblical marriage relationship.
And even that's not a popular view, you know, and just that whole concept of you need to abstain, whereas sex education is, well, you need to have a condom or here, protect yourself.
Yeah, we don't pass condoms.
And so it's important as parents, you know, and as adults, and understand that if you're not a parent, that does, meaning like you did not give birth to a child, that does not mean that you don't have a power of influence. That does not mean that you don't have people in your circle or kids that are looking up to you, youth that are coming to you. And so you have an opportunity to also share and help them to understand that you do want to stay sexually pure till you get married. You do want to abstain until you get married. And even if you did make the mistake of having sex, you know, before you got married, it's never too late. Never too late to begin to make that commitment and to say, you know what, I'm going to be sexually pure from this point on.
Yeah, from this point on. So that's right. They have so many challenges just with social media, pornography that they can access from any device. They're still sexting like crazy. And a lot of times their pictures will accidentally get into the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah.
I have accidentally, as an adult, received pictures from kids.
Wow.
That were sent out to everyone, their peers.
Yeah.
And somehow I was on that list and received that information.
And there's just so many avenues that we don't think about. And so talking about pornography, helping them understand, you know, I flip out when I see a second grader with a phone and they're on Instagram and Facebook. And some of the pictures I myself have to filter to say, okay, this is inappropriate. Or, I mean, YouTube, almost everything is on YouTube. And so when you just open up the doors and give, you know, your kids a device and say, here, and don't put any parameters on it, you have to understand there's a lot of influence that's happening there. So how would you encourage parents to deal with that area to where they got their phones? How would you encourage them to deal with that?
And you know what? Before you give your kids phones, you need to set some guidelines. You're paying the bill every month. We should not, as parents, just give them free access to whatever on the phone. You're going to have to implement restrictions.
How do you let an 11-year-old make you feel guilty because you put restrictions on their device?
You can't do that because we're not.
I'm just thinking about that. I'm just like, I mean, how am I going to let an 11, 10-year-old make me feel guilty about putting restrictions? Oh, go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
They'll do that. And you know something? Even if they don't even have a device, they have friends.
Yeah.
And they can work with their friends to set up an account on their phone. And when their friends are not using their phone, they will share with that person. So they have ways of getting around to doing whatever they desire to do.
So when it comes to social media, would you encourage that you can view their phone? Is that one of the rules that you would say is like, I need the password to your phone? And occasionally you look at it. Does that show distrust? How do you deal with that if I'm saying, here, I need to see your phone?
No, what I would do is there are apps that you can install on your child's phone. As a parent, without your kids even knowing. And so it leaves a footprint on your phone when they go to certain sites. You can have these things shut down. You need to set the child's phone up before you give it to that child. And they need to earn the next level. You know, if they want to do YouTube, that's something they need to earn that through their loyalty and so forth.
Yeah, those are some good points. And I think a lot of us, or a lot of parents, they have the not my baby mentality. Well, not my baby. My baby, you know, and I think you have some, you were telling me a little bit about some statistics. I know we're going to get back to the conference, and I definitely want to do that. But, I mean, just from our discussion, I mean, we went and started talking about some critical things that, you know, we didn't even think about how important it is that of pornography and the amount of pornography that is going through Snapchat, that is going through Instagram. So for those that don't know, you can hashtag. So as you hashtag, you can hashtag a scripture. And so I want to see all the other scriptures.
Right.
So here it is. I'm checking out other hashtags. Literally, I put in scripture of the day. And in scripture of the day, I see a bunch of scriptures, but then right there is a video of pornography.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, so if you're listening to this, pay attention. Hopefully this will not be a stumbling block for you. But this is important for us to know that you have people that are intentionally hashtagging pornographic material with Jesus, hashtagging a pornographic material with Bible verse of the day, so they can intentionally intrude on the minds of Christians who are looking for the Bible verse of the day.
Right. And so they're using every facet of media possible.
Yeah.
So there's no rock unturned.
Now, what impact does pornography have on the mind of youth in the area of sexuality? How does that begin to warp their mind?
Man, it's extremely major. I had a teenager that actually came to me. I was surprised and said they had a problem with pornography. Basically, their parent is not at home when they get home from school.
Okay.
And so they became addicted to it and was trying to control it somehow. And so they figured the only thing that they can do is turn to someone that would listen. Unfortunately, it was not the parent. It was myself that they had to come and talk to.
Yeah.
And so I had to basically walk with that person. And so what we have seen is that when you start with pornography, you're looking at things on your phone, your computer, it demoralizes the male or the female. And so you start to look at them differently as you develop.
Yeah.
And the, like, rapist, those that have murdered, like men that have murdered women, what they are saying in the news is that these people, it just didn't happen. They started when they were young, when you're looking at like Playboy books and so forth. And so it develops.
It's not innocent. There's a very serious epidemic and addiction that is happening. And so when you're talking about, you know, sex, and that's why we're having this, because there's so much out there that we're not aware that our kids are connected to where they can become addicted and begin to have a warped view of sex and of women and of men at an early age, because we're not communicating, because we're not setting these boundaries and talking about these things. And so,
reported. We talked to the Ontario Police Department out here, and they was telling us, this is probably about 3 years ago, that about 80,000 kids have been brought into the country here through San Bernardino County alone.
Wow.
And what they're noticing now is that gangs are not so much pushing drugs, firearms, but now they're investing, if you can say that, into sex trafficking. And so it's very easy for gangs to go across the border, bring someone over, put them in school, put them in middle school or high school. And at the same time, at night, they're having a girl out on the street selling her body.
And that's a reality.
Now, what was shocking is that once we mentioned that in our classroom settings, we even had a few kids that say, hey, you know something? I know of someone like that.
Wow.
And so we had to hook them up with the authorities so they can get information to investigate this.
Yeah, it's a very serious matter. And there's so much going on around us that we have to be educated, and we have to protect our kids by educating them. And we have to be educated.
Right.
We have to protect our kids. And I was even thinking about this, that you have to protect your kid by having a good example. You know, yes. So you can't talk to your kid about what is, you know, good sexual practices when you yourself are out, you know, practicing bad sexual behavior. Or
yes, and they're aware of it.
And that's what I was thinking. I mean, that 5-year-old knows, you know, that daddy's, you know, running. It's leaving that impression.
Something's not right.
And exactly. Here's the thing. So you, for fathers that are listening, if you're running women and you might be nice to them, but you don't make commitments. You have this woman on the side, you have this woman on the side, and you're not hitting them. You're not, you know, you're not being abusive, but you have several sexual partners. Well, what impression is that leaving for your baby girl? How is your baby girl viewing her sexuality and how she should be treated by a man? That becomes a normality.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's what love is, because that's the way that my dad loved women and had several different women. So I guess that's the way that men are, and that's what love is, and that's the way I should be treated. It's so important that we have a good example. These things, you got to communicate. As hard as it's going to be, you have to begin to communicate it. And have that open lines of communication to where they can communicate it to you. Don't jump. The moment they say, I'm struggling with pornography, don't flip your mind and blow up. They come to you and say, hey, I've been experimenting. You know, just allow them to communicate and to begin to step in and begin to share just a proper view and to help them through that process. So as we do begin to close, we were talking about the conference. And so the conference is coming up. It's April 1st. It's this Saturday. Too late? If I want to come, if I'm in the Ontario area, Southern California area, LA, Pomona area, can I come?
Yeah, it's not too late to register. Basically, you can register on that day. And we're right here at 224 West California Street in the city of Ontario.
And I'll put all those things in, if you go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org, I'll put all these things inside the link, inside the podcast, so you'll get the link to some of these. The app, I remember you mentioned about the app where people can track. I want to make sure I give a link to that, so that way they can see what your kids are doing. I also want to put other links to True Love Waits, so that way if you want to get more information to educate your kids, as well as a link to register for this conference. We really want you to come out. I'm excited. I'm actually going to be one of the speakers for the conference. Who else is going to be there?
We have Tori Thomas, Minister Tori Thomas, that's going to be there. Okay. We have Rachel Leary Thomas and Taisha Torres, Pastor Brian Kennedy, Pastor Hosea Collins.
Hosea, yeah.
We have great musical artists, Bijan and The Few.
Wait, so there's a concert too?
Yeah, we have a concert that's actually going to start right after the conference.
Okay, all right.
So this is like a fun-filled day.
So now, is it only for youth?
No, it's not for youth. We have children. We have parents that want to come because it's great for them to see what youth are doing, and they also can learn from our speakers.
I agree.
So they can look out and be able to communicate better to their kids.
All right. So please mark your calendar. Come out this Saturday. Even if you can only come for a little bit, we want to encourage you to come. No matter if you're in the San Bernardino, just any Southern California area, we want you to come and experience this. Is there a charge?
Well, the charge is $10. And really, that covers your lunch.
That covers your lunch. Okay. Yeah. And so, but now here's the thing. This is ministry. And so we don't want anyone to feel like
We want no one to feel discouraged.
Yeah, don't feel discouraged. So if $10 is discouraging you from coming, you come talk to Mr. J. You come talk to me.
Yeah, you come to the registration table. Say, where's Mr. J?
Yeah, so we want you to come. So please don't let $10 discourage you. Again, that's mainly just to help feed you on that day. So any last thoughts before we end?
Well, there was a survey taken in like 2004 regarding this whole True Love Waits movement. And what they found, they've brought back some youth that have made pledges to sexual purity. And to show you how much pressure these kids are really dealing with this, 6 out of 10 of the kids that have made a pledge have broken their pledge.
Wow.
And then the remaining 40% that did not experiment, that did not break their pledge, 55% of them actually participated in oral sex.
Wow.
And so they're still thinking that it's okay.
So what that's like, so if I put those numbers together, I'm looking at about 75-80%, something like that?
Yeah, pretty close, like 77%.
Okay, so I want to break this down for our listeners and for those that are parents. As you're thinking, not my baby. Now, we've already limited, we talked about 10 who made a commitment.
10 that made a commitment.
All right, so we're not talking about those who didn't make a commitment. We're just talking about 10 that are saying, okay, I'm going to really try to do this. And out of those 10...
6 of them came back and says, oh, man, I messed up.
All right, so now think about that for a moment. If you have 2 children, there's a likelihood that that's a 60% chance that your children are going to have sex, even if they make a commitment.
Right.
And then an 80% chance that your kids, even if they end up having sex, they're probably going to have some type of oral sex. That's frightening.
It is. Now, these are with the kids that made a pledge. Yeah. Wow. That have gone through a program. Imagine what kind of statistics you may have for those that haven't even talked about true love weights or experienced any type of program.
Yeah. Wow. That's deep.
And really, you can't get those numbers because teenagers are not going to walk up off the street and say, hey, look, yeah, I'm doing this. That just don't happen.
Well, Mr. J, I really appreciate you taking the time. For those that don't know, you can also check out Mr. J, Showing the Love. What's the website for that?
That's MrJShowingTheLove.com.
So go to MrJShowingTheLove.com. Check him out. Make sure you go to the website to click on some of these resources, SimplifyComplexity.org. Come to the conference this Saturday, April 1st. It starts at
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So be here at 10 o'clock and you'll definitely be blessed. Bring the family. If it's just you, if it's an adult, please do not hesitate to come. Some of these speakers, and I'm one of the speakers, what I have to say, it will bless you. This is not just just for youth. This has anyone that's just dealing with relationships, is dealing with sex, and really wants to grow in that area and really seek God in those areas. So let's go ahead and end in prayer. You want to close us in prayer?
All right, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this podcast, this broadcast. And, man, for all of our youth that are out there or experimenting or have questions regarding their sexuality and relationships, Lord, we ask that you provide a way for them to receive biblical information. We ask that you give parents the strength, the creativity, and encourage them to reach out, understand youth culture, and to communicate better with their children when it comes to this subject matter. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would also bless the conference concert that is coming up April the 1st. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time. Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. In the house of the Lord. Yeah. That's what you're looking for. Come on. Stand up. Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. There's no place I'd rather be or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best-minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love. I, you need me.